Some people argue they can't live without them. Others insist they can't live with them, at least not without constant fear. We're talking about guns, especially easily concealed or not, handguns. Now, the right to bear a handgun might be the subject of the Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, but it's vying to become number one on the list of hot-button issues dividing our nation and, increasingly, our policymakers. Hi, I'm John Schwannis, and on this edition of Indiana Lawmakers, we'll explore the push for constitutional carry, that is, the elimination of virtually all limits on carrying a handgun, including the state's existing licensing process. Don't go away. Indiana Lawmakers, from the State House to your house. And joining me to discuss the concept and potential consequences of constitutional carry are Republican Representative Ben Smaltz of Auburn, chairman of the House Public Policy Committee, Democratic Representative Ed Delaney of Indianapolis, Republican Representative Jim Lucas of Seymour, and Marion County Prosecutor Ryan Mears, a Democrat. Thank you all for being here for this discussion. Ben Smaltz, I'll start with you because you took issue with the wording of the introduction with consequences, you said, is inherently a negative. You think the word should be benefits. Elaborate on that.
I think there's both sides. I think there's always both sides. But in this bill, we're really only talking about that person who is going to get their permit anyway. The lawful Hoosier is who we're helping with lawful carry.
Well, let's start with how do you define constitutional carry? Because that's a term that you all have used frequently, but for folks watching and listening across the state, maybe they're not as familiar. Give us the
nutshell. That's a great question. So when someone hears constitutional carry, they have a misperception that that means anybody can carry anywhere, anytime. That is not at all what we're doing. What we're talking about is the lawful Hoosier being able to exercise their Second Amendment rights. We're not talking about the criminals. This bill isn't for them. We're talking about the person who has followed the laws, obeyed the laws for their life, and would have gotten that permit anyway.
And Delaney, do you agree with the term?
I am just stunned. First of all, the term constitutional carry is a joke. We are not a court, those of us who are legislators, and no court has said that this must be done, and God has not spoken. So the term should be thrown in the garbage.
You got to hand it to proponents, though. That
they've
is
done a great
term
job.
That
great job
well,
selling the term. Now, the bottom line is it's unlicensed carry. That's what it should be called. And so the idea is I self-declare that I'm safe to carry a gun, and then I carry it on my hip or in my pocket, and I walk around with it. No court has approved it. No license has been issued. I've paid no fee. That's what it is. So I want this for my car, by the way. I have every right to drive a car. My eyes are good. I don't drive around drunk. So why do I need a license?
People would say that's a privilege, not a – nowhere in the Constitution does it talk about the ability to get behind the wheel.
That's a joke, okay? Come on. The next thing we're doing, we're defunding the police, okay, because we've been putting millions of dollars into state and local police through the fees, the license fees that people pay. That's gone. The general taxpayers will now have to pay for that. So the gun lovers will get the benefit of my tax money. The police get less information. They won't know who has a license or not because no one has a license. I don't see how anybody's going to be arrested for having a gun illegally unless they put it on their forehead that they're a prohibited person. The police can't know who's prohibited. So I think the whole thing is just an ideological fun game.
I got to tell you, I disagree with almost everything Representative Delaney just said. But for the unlicensed part. It's exactly right.
Which is another term. You'll say permitless carry or unrestricted carry.
We're not requiring a license for the lawful person. This is lawful carry.
So we got lawful people and unlawful people. That's great. Why can't unlawful people carry guns? Let's say I've been to prison on a weapons charge. I've served my time. Don't I have a right to defend myself?
No, I think you forfeited that right. Certain
I forfeited that right.
Okay. Four of you here. Four of you here now. Come on, just because of the seating arrangement, we got to share the
let these guys share
the bounty. Well, I know you guys are such shrinking violets. You didn't want to talk. Let's see if these guys will maybe talk a little bit more. Jim Lucas, everybody says constitutional, or your proponents, the people who are advocates of this bill. Which is 1369 for those keeping score, say it all has to do with the Constitution. But the Constitution, 27 words in the amendment, doesn't talk about age restrictions or people who have mental issues that are documented. So, I mean, if it's truly constitutional, Shouldn't it be, why should there be age, or why should there be people who are felons should be restricted?
Well, that's a very good question, and that's one I'm sure can come up at a future date, but for right now, this is something we need to focus on, baby steps, returning towards the Constitution.
Well, let's elaborate. Sure. If you had your way, then age is out, maybe baby steps is appropriate. Babies? I mean, is there... If there's no law that
if
can
people
infringe,
want you to take it, fine-tune it that right, I mean, can babies vote? You know, I mean, we have to look at that.
Humans have a right to vote, or mean Americans, but there are restrictions and registration requirements. So is that necessarily the absolute?
Absolutely. Well, I remember growing up, my grandfather, born in 1901, would talk about carrying guns to school, and they literally had the one-room schoolhouse. Carrying guns to school so they can hunt with before and after. That was not an issue. You know, this only became an issue later on in the 20th century when society decided to make it an issue.
And under this bill, just to be clear, yes, schools would still be off limits to,
yes,
to even
schools
people,
are,
whether you, well, there wouldn't be a permit.
I don't understand why schools are off limits under
this
theory.
Me neither.
Those kids need protection, don't they? I mean, your argument goes too far.
No,
and it implies, by the way, that
schools
for the last 70 years, a bunch of drunks have been running my country, passing all these horrible laws against
laws
guns.
Make them
let's get Ryan Mears in here. I mean,
let's hear the prosecutor.
You have a tool right now. If people commit a crime and are not permitted gun possessors, that's an awkward way to say it. I mean, you have more leverage. You have another tool in your arsenal in terms of prosecution, right?
Right.
Would this take that presumably
absolutely
away?
Right now in Marion County, we have 550 handgun without a license cases that are pending. As a result of those arrests, we took 550 guns off the street. And in addition, when we get those 550 guns, we're able to test those guns and we're able to link them to shootings and homicide cases, so we're able to hold people accountable for violent crime. The consequence of this legislation is we're going to have more guns on the street, and it's going to be tougher for us to be able to prosecute homicide cases. We have a violent crime problem here in Marion County. Law enforcement, prosecutors' offices, we're all telling you we need these tools in order for us to be successful and battle violent crime, and they're being taken away from us. So as a practical consequence, Marion County is going to suffer.
Well, I don't know what the homicide rate is in Auburn, but DeKalb County, but I presume it's a lot less than Marion.
The crime for illegal possession of a firearm without a license is now simply illegal possession of a firearm. That crime is still there. You're still going to be able to prosecute for that. You're still going to be able to run that gun to see if it's been stolen and take it off.
How can you prosecute it if there's no more statute that says...
There is. In the bill, it clearly says, instead of being illegally in possession of a firearm without a license, it is now simply illegally in possession of a firearm. The crime is still there. It's an A misdemeanor. That's what it is now today, right? A misdemeanor.
It is an A misdemeanor, but if you approach someone on the street, how do you know whether or not that individual, what their criminal history is, do they have the ability to possess a firearm or not?
Because of Pinner, the Pinner case, the mere presence of a firearm is not indicative of a crime.
I totally agree.
And now, that's not changing either.
Well, no, but law enforcement.
Let down dismissed charges out there. And when you look, speaking specifically of Marion County, almost 80% of the homicide victims had multiple prior felony convictions.
Well, we're not getting the
bad guys off the street.
If it wouldn't change anything,
we're playing catch and releases.
You said 500, how many?
550 of those cases.
Okay, 550. You've decided to prosecute them on that chart. If this bill becomes law, would you be able to... You could still prosecute them. Would you?
No, the charge doesn't help us out, and it doesn't help law enforcement out on the street, and that's why law enforcement's unanimously opposed to this bill.
It's not necessarily unanimous, is it?
Okay, I mean, state police.
State police, but then I think it splits among sheriffs. And,
sure. Okay,
and back, so, I think that's probably why the Association of Chiefs of Police hasn't taken a formal stand.
Sure. Okay, so let's just talk about the practical implications of what takes place. You have a law enforcement officer who stops someone. Right now, if they stop that person, they run, do they have a permit, yes or no, vote it up or down. If they don't, they are able to arrest that person, they're able to confiscate that gun. That gun, once it's been confiscated, they test it, they're able to see, is that linked to prior shootings, is that related to homicides, and then we're able to build investigations.
How do they know if there's no probable cause? I mean, now, right now, because it's linked to BMV records, if I'm an officer and I pull someone over, in theory, I can know if the occupant of the vehicle...
They can do a check in their car. They can do a check in their car, and they can figure out whether or not a person has a license or not.
They can search their car.
No, I'm saying if they see a gun in a vehicle, at that point in time, an officer is able to take steps, number one, to secure the gun so the officer can protect their safety, and then they can go back to the car. Does this person have a license or not?
But arguably, the person who's not the lawful citizen probably isn't keeping the gun out on the dashboard anyway. Oh, right.
It happens every day in Marion County.
Yeah, come on.
That's why we have 550 of these cases right now today.
So if the officer sees a firearm laying out in the open, they'll still be able to take that gun for officer safety after this bill passes, correct?
No, what they'll be able to do is they'll be able to secure that firearm during the course of the interaction, but they can't take it with them, and they can't take it off the street, and they can't take it back to the crime lab to get it tested to see, hey, was this gun involved in a homicide? That's what they call it.
The Indiana Supreme Court has ruled through Penner that unanimously that is their right to have a firearm.
No one's disputing that. I'm just saying law enforcement needs the tool to decide on the spot, does this person have the ability or the authority to possess this firearm? The current licensing system makes that very clear, gives law enforcement clear guidance. Do you have a license or not? If you don't, I'm taking the gun, I'm testing it, and you're going to jail.
I mean, does the efficacy really matter? I mean, I guess we can debate even the point of efficacy, but I mean, I guess some of you would say it doesn't matter because it's a constitutional issue. But yeah, if everybody had to wear a flashing billboard over his or her head about I'm a licensed gun carrier or I'm not, maybe that would make it easier for police and maybe it would cut crime. But you're saying it, and I don't want to put words in your mouth. Does it matter if the Constitution says it? Does it matter if he can prosecute more or not?
I've watched police officers take guns out of cars and run the serial numbers to see if they're stolen and then return them to the car when they found out they're not. And when you talk about that stop, you skip a very big step. That police officer has to get out of their car, and they don't know who they're talking to. They can run that tag, but you don't know that's the person who's driving. So they're walking up to that car to an unknown person. They are aware of their own safety. They don't know who that person is until they have returned to their car with a name and date of birth. And then they can run and see if the lawful person has a license. But if there's a gun in the car, that is not a reason, that's not probable cause to continue the investigation. That citizen has to have done something unlawful for them to continue that process.
And right now, that doesn't change. The unlawful act is not having a license.
Right. If the gun is
and
sitting
you're taking
out,
that
if
away.
The gun is sitting out,
look, I care.
And what probable cause do you have to go further?
The probable cause, the guy's got a gun. The issue is it registered right now?
So then,
it's a simple
so then
system.
So you completely eliminate the part of the bill where we are requesting police, empowering police, the BMV, other related agencies by memorandum of understanding with no time frame. We're giving them the flexibility to decide how they process that information to the officer on the street. We're letting them decide.
Then I don't
that.
Know what world you're in. The head of the state police called me. I don't get those calls a lot. And said this system can't work. Where, you know, I see a guy, I look him up, I find out whether he's a prohibited person.
So
we don't have a list of that.
So you've got over a million people.
Tell me they can.
When the government ever created something bureaucratically that worked well? I mean, this
idea
of trying to create a new database.
They say they can't. So we're going to pass a statute making something non-criminal that has been criminal, the illegal possession of a weapon. We're going to do that when the police say they can't use your new methodology. You know, you forget, we're talking about the cops all the time. What about the people? I get a reassurance from the fact that if there's a guy walking around with a gun on his hip, that someone has looked at him. From now
that
on, that's
true.
Over.
Criminals don't walk around with a gun.
Oh, sure they do.
So don't be reassured because that person could just as easily
have,
be
look,
a,
you think
a murderous
it's fun?
Criminal.
Listen, it's not fun
Nobody's
that people carry guns
fun.
Around.
Who
it's
said
not
it was fun?
Fun.
You're saying
okay?
It's fun.
You think it's fun. It ain't fun.
You're
it's
putting
dangerous.
Words in my mouth. I didn't ever say
you
it
tell
was fun.
Your, you tell my grandkids fun. That some wise guy walking around with a gun on his hip or playing with in his pocket is
because
cute.
Because criminals don't
it
carry
ain't
guns.
Cute.
But I mean,
no,
who
but the
cute?
Odds are better. You're reducing the odds.
If somebody's walking around with a gun
clearly
holstered on his side or her side now, an officer can't necessarily go and ask to see if it's registered,
no.
Right? I mean, legally.
I would agree with that.
And so that if that doesn't matter, okay. And you were saying that the existing law doesn't protect police because it could be somebody else other than the owner of the vehicle who comes back as the gun owner. Well, why then are you telling BMV to still maintain? Why not just do away with that step?
The hard thing to really grasp is why can they maintain a database of over a million law-abiding Hoosiers, but they can't maintain information on people who have broken the law in a significantly less number. Why can't they do that?
But wouldn't they have an officer would have the same challenge behind the vehicle run? If the whatever this mechanism
that changed, that won't change.
Because right, you said it didn't guarantee that the person who shows up on the computer screen is actually the person.
By the license plate, that's absolutely correct.
Well, except it could be somebody who stole the vehicle or a family member. So
when the officer goes to that window, they need to be aware that that person could be someone who stole the car, could threaten their safety. Every officer I've talked to has said they are on their guard when they're walking up to a car. None have said they walk up with no concern at all.
How come? Okay, here's.
So you want to take the money out of the system so gun owners don't have to pay.
We haven't even gotten
to
that
point. The police don't
yet.
Get the money. You want to take the money out of the system. You want to take his ability to prosecute. His ability to prosecute somebody for having a gun without a permit.
Time out for just a second.
And what are we gaining?
Hey, for those who, again, don't follow, the money you're talking about is right now because people pay $75 a year for a lifetime permit. They've already waived the fee for the short-term permits. That puts, $5 million or plus into state coffers.
Yeah.
That's the money you're saying would go away.
Yeah, that goes away.
Yeah,
But the $3.5 million, Representative Delaney, as you recall, we put in the budget. That $3.5 million is being spread out over the entire state.
Right.
Everybody who benefits.
You're taxing me to take your license away.
So explain
Thank
to me.
You.
Why should my tax dollars that I pay for the license to pay
different.
For you?
You're doing something I'm
exercising
not doing.
Constitutional.
You're doing something I'm not doing.
No
if we're going to use, if we're going to use the licensing of constitutional rights as a fundraiser, let's license the right to vote.
It's not a user.
They increase our risk.
Here's a question I often hear when these issues come up. How come lawmakers say you can't take a firearm into the state house unless you're a member of the General Assembly or a staff member or certain people? I mean, why is it not? And again, maybe you'll say
I've had legislation.
You've already said we're giving babies.
Rights,
we're giving
absolutely.
Babies. Hand, so you would do away state
absolutely.
House? Do you? Would you go that far?
So I believe that buildings that have courthouses, courtrooms, it's important to separate. That's not changing. Schools, the prohibited places are not being changed in this bill at all.
And lawmakers can still carry guns.
Lawmakers can, and so can staff.
And do. I won't hold any question anybody at the moment, but I'm guessing a few people here on the set might. But I mean, where do you go for if this passes? And it came out of the House 65-31, and this has been around, I should say, probably since 2015, 2016. Never gotten this right. far, really. And it looks like right. presumably it'll get a warm reception in the Senate. Where do you go from here in terms of your strategy for combating these kinds of violent crimes?
Well, it's going to be incredibly detrimental to the people of Marion County and any place that's experienced an uptick in violence, in particular with gun crime. You know, we talk about people who have prior felony convictions and being charged with homicides. We have 178 pending homicides in Marion County. Out of that 178, 23 of those individuals are serious violent felons, meaning they have a violent felony in their background. You know, we're missing a whole class of people and individuals who don't qualify as serious violent felons that we need to give law enforcement some tool to address those individuals when they encounter them. And right now we probably have 150 of those cases. And so what the legislature is doing is they're taking away law enforcement's ability to get those guns off the street, test those firearms and see, hey, are these involved in other shootings and homicides? And that's a critical tool that we have right now in Marion County. We invest millions of dollars every year in our Crime Gun Intelligence Center to do exactly what I just talked about, and it's been incredibly successful, and it's a national model because we're able to link all of these shootings and all these homicides, but it starts with being able to take that gun off the street, and we're not going to be able to do that right now.
Jim Lucas, allay his concerns. Or allay his concerns, tell him why he shouldn't.
We're not taking away tools. We're just making you do some things differently in protecting the rights of the law-abiding citizen by not requiring them to get a license to exercise a constitutional right. I mean, you still have the tools in the toolbox to do what you need to do. You're just going to have to do things differently. And you just mentioned right there, the amount of felons that you have, current felons, with multiple prior felonies, okay, these are people that don't obey laws anyway.
Right, but that's 23 of our homicides. That's 23 out of 178. The other 150 individuals.
They've experienced record homicides last year, correct?
Absolutely.
And they're on pace to break that record again this year?
Right. And the solution is we need more people to have guns.
Let me ask you something. You're perhaps the only member of the General Assembly who was the subject of an assassination attempt.
It was a simple murder attempt.
Murder, assassination. The result was the same. The person with the gun wanted you dead.
Right.
And this was back in 2000.
And the gun couldn't be traced.
It jammed. You ended up with broken ribs and so forth. Is that because you, does that fuel your passion on this issue, or do you feel
I haven't really changed
authority?
My opinions based upon that incident. What I'm concerned about, if I hear this, understand this conversation correctly, right now, with the new law, if it passes, the person who is a so-called prohibited person, he's got a mental problem or a history of crimes, if all he's doing that's wrong is having a gun, he's going to walk away. We're going to have another crime to get that gun, right? Absolutely. I'm going to have to arrest him for assault, battery, breaking, burglary, whatever, and then in the process of that, finding the gun. Then I can go and, you know, get him for the gun problem. Right now, if all I know is he's got a gun and it ain't licensed, I can get him. That's my understanding.
Absolutely.
All right. And then if that if that's been used in crimes, I really got him now, right?
Absolutely.
There's the difference. We're giving up that chance to get a guy on a fairly simple charge. You don't have a license, but you got a gun. We're giving up that chance to bring people into the system and take guns out of the system. That's what you want to do. The gun that was used on me, they couldn't trace it. That does bother me. Okay?
That's against the law.
I would have preferred that.
He broke a crime there.
Ben Smaltz, I'll invite you to do the same that I just had Jib Lucas allay the prosecutor's concerns. Can you give Delaney any comfort?
Certainly. We're not the first state to do this. 18 states are already doing this. The FBI crime data does not show that law enforcement is in any more danger, that crime rates skyrocket after lawful carry. And in fact, 5 or 6 of the top 10 states, safest states, are lawful carry states.
Of course, they tend to, those are just by coincidence, perhaps, that's Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. These are not known as hotbeds of crime to begin with, right? I mean, they're
so
not
So if you're
very...
just talking about some of the states, Arizona has it, Phoenix is a huge, Kentucky just passed it, Louisville is not a small,
and you go Oklahoma,
not a small city.
Alaska, again,
Arkansas.
They tend to be smaller population states, which may or may not differ, I mean, as far as you're concerned.
Yeah, we have a different problem.
Tennessee.
Apparently we're not allowed to address it. That's the bottom line. Sorry, Indianapolis. By the way, we don't like your buses.
Illegal
we'll take those away, but guns you can
possession.
Have. Thank you.
That is a crime to be prosecuted. I would hope that prosecutor does prosecute crimes for illegal possession of a firearm. We have made that clear in the bill. That is not changing.
And you still have to be 18 to possess.
Which it is today.
Which is a quirk, I guess a quirk, because you have to be 21 to purchase a handgun in Indianapolis.
Representative Delaney just brought up a very good point. Indianapolis, recently during Indianapolis had 2 days of riots. It was reported there were over 8,000 911 calls made within a period of 48 hours. Okay, there's simply no way it's impossible for police to get to you in the amount of time to save your life or to save your family in the event of a break-in or something bad going on, and that's why it is very critical that we respect people's constitutional rights.
But that's got nothing to do with the existing law. If you're at your place of business, if you're at your
but
home,
right now
you don't need a license to carry.
It's taking months to get your license.
You're allowed to have
your
gun at your house.
It's taking months to get your
license. You don't need a license to have a gun at your house.
If you have a protective order, if somebody's threatening you and you have a protective order, you can circumvent this, right? You can just go get a gun and carry it temporarily.
Law-abiding people obey the law, and this is one law that could very well get people killed.
You've explained that to me. I got a gun in my house right now.
I don't need a license.
But to carry it.
And in my,
right,
in my
car.
Don't,
he could carry a long gun, right? He could carry
well,
a shotgun with a
rifle.
Yeah,
he could carry
a long gun. He could walk down the streets strapping an AR.
He could.
Without a license.
I don't think I'd see. I mean, my eyes might pop out. All right, last, we're down to a minute. Why is this getting traction now? It didn't in 2015, 16, 17, 18. Is it the riots?
Hey, look, there's a really good – look at Indianapolis. Look at Marion County last year. Over 200 murders. You still require a license to have a handgun. Over 200 murders. The crime in Marion County is astounding.
If this bill is enacted, will the homicide rate in Marion County go down?
I don't know that it will go down. I don't
know
that it will go down.
Stop worrying about us. Stop it. Don't worry about my bus. Don't worry about my gun. Don't screw up my prosecutor. Stop worrying about it. Go take care of your county. That's the problem.
That is your
choice. This is politics. This is pure politics, ideology.
I know. I'm watching it right now.
You're feeding the tiger called the NRA. That's what the hell this is all about.
And I'm watching
this.
It
has everything to do with it. I'll give you another medal.
Here.
All right. We may have to... This is when I hate saying we're out of time, unfortunately. I had a feeling this would be a lively discussion, and you proved me right. You know, it's an important issue. You guys have a lot of insight and a lot of passion. We thank you for sharing it with our viewers and listeners across the state of Indiana. Again, my guests have been Republican Representative Ben Smoltz of Auburn, Democratic Representative Ed Delaney of Indianapolis, Republican Representative Jim Lucas of Seymour, and Marion County Prosecutor Ryan Mears, a Democrat. A question for smokers. Just how high would a cigarette tax have to be to get you to quit? The high cost of addiction on the next Indiana Lawmakers. And time now for our weekly conversation with Indiana Lawmakers analyst Ed Feigenbaum, publisher of the newsletter Indiana Legislative Insight, part of Hannah News Service. Well, Ed, you know, we're getting into some of the particulars there about ages and you know, the degrees of felony versus misdemeanor. What's the 40,000-foot perspective as far as you're concerned on this bill? Where are Hoosiers on this?
Well, they talked a lot, but I'm not sure that they covered everything, John. You kind of threw the ball up and let them play, but one of the things that I think that they overlooked was, you know, there's some other provisions in the Constitution that have some little provisos with them that put some restrictions on some of those constitutional rights as well, such as the right to vote. You know, you have to register to vote. That was one thing that they did not cover this morning, and you know, that is a constitutional right as well. There are a couple of other things, too. You know, obviously, the loss of revenue is going to be something that will continue to be debated. You know, that had to go to Ways and Means, the House Committee on Ways and Means, because it did have revenue implications. But one of the interesting things that didn't get discussed this morning was that there's a group called Hoosier Gun Rights that's really a little bit more radical than the NRA and has been really pushing for a pure constitutional carry bill. For the last few years, they've been really hard on Representative Smoltz, on former Speaker Bosma, House Majority Floor Leader Matt Lehman, back in their own districts. They've been holding workshops and things like that to put pressure on legislators to make this bill happen. And they were out there pushing again this year, and they are not happy with the bill as it stands now. They think that Representative Smoltz basically screwed it up. They said that it's got a couple of poison pills in there. One is the new database, which they call a flawed government database. And the other thing is that it doesn't take effect until the middle of 2022 at this point, or March of 2022. But the database is the key. And the database may be problematic both to civil libertarians and to gun rights advocates, because it really doesn't carry enough criteria, and it may create a database that people, like I said, both ends of the spectrum have issues with.
In the few moments we have left, what happens in the Senate? Does this become law?
It's going to be a close call. It's going to be very difficult for the Senate Majority Caucus to oppose this. Senator Jim Toms has been very outspoken on this in caucus and on the floor of the Senate on this and on other gun rights issues. It's going to be a very difficult vote, and the governor may not be totally on board.
That's
with
my
this
next question. Does the governor sign it if it gets to his desk?
Yeah, that's another tough question, and we just don't know yet. He's been holding his holster close to the vest, but his wife is an NRA certified gun instructor and a very good one at that.
All right, very good. We'll leave it there, Ed. Thank you, as always, for your insight. We'll see you next week. For more information, episode streams, and other extra content, visit us on the web at wfyi.org/lawmakers. You can access live streaming coverage of the General Assembly on the internet as well. And remember, you can get our show on demand from Xfinity. Well, that concludes another edition of Indiana Lawmakers. I'm John Schwannis, and on behalf of WFYI Public Media and Indiana's other public broadcasting stations, I thank you for joining us, and I invite you to visit wfyi.org for more State House news. Until next week, take care.